for the first time. No offense. So today was an eventful day. I had a day off to get my second MRI done. I don't think I've really, can't remember if I've actually talked about how the experience was for my first MRI that I got in August last year. I might have, but I don't know if I specified it in the title. But yeah, after the first MRI, I actually fainted. It's not from doing the actual procedure, but it was more so the nurse that was inserting the cannula to insert the contrast, which gets pushed through your veins to help see your brain or whatever, imaging better. She was really bad, and she like poked me a few times, and it's really, really painful getting the cannula in. I looked at it, I saw it, and yeah, it was just not nice. Yeah, and I literally fainted, had a panic attack, vasovagal episode or whatever, low blood pressure. Almost had like a med call or like an medical emergency in the hospital. Yeah, so I warned them about it when I went this time. Side story, like I legit was half an hour late to my appointment. I did not want to pay for parking. This is a new hospital. So this time I went to Box Hill Hospital. Last time I went to Monash Hospital. This is just because the neurologist was like, no, go to this hospital. I prefer the whatever radiologist better here or whatever. And so I had to go to this specific hospital and like didn't know where to park and it was far away. And I went to the wrong entrance and it was like Arnott Street or something, and then like yeah, I realized I took out my phone to try Google it, and I realized I left my phone in the car, and that was like a 10-minute walk away. And I was like, oh shit. And then I tried to find it, and I saw entrance, and I walked in and then asked where like imaging was, and they pointed me to this place, and I was like, this doesn't look like it. So I went to an entrance and they're like, you're not booked in. And then they're like, where's your letter? And I gave them the letter and they're like, you're at the wrong place. I was like, what? And they're like, you have to go to the roundabout and like cross the road. And I was like, oh, okay. It was like raining and shit. And I was like, walk all the way to, I think I knew where they meant because that's where the neurologist was. And then went over there, went to the, long story short, I went to three different places before I actually went to the right place. Turns out I went to the wrong hospital. I went to the private hospital by accident. I actually went to the private clinic and they pointed me to another private clinic. And I was actually supposed to go to the public hospital. And yes, so that's why I was half an hour late. I was parked in a 2-hour zone and I was like, I'm so getting a fucking ticket on my car. But honestly, I was like, I just pray to God they don't make me reschedule because it was just so freaking hard to get freaking day off to get this MRI done before my new follow-up neurologist appointment next week, because he wanted me to get it done a week before the appointment. You know, it's so hard to get, it's so hard having all these health problems and also having a full-time job, and then also realizing a lot of your health problems would be solved if you didn't have that full-time job. Isn't that such a catch-22? Is that all of these health problems that I have, which I have to pay for out of my own pocket, because like the MRI itself was not covered by Medicare, because apparently the machine that they have is not something that's covered by Medicare. If I wanted it to be covered, I had to go to a different hospital, Maroondah Hospital, but their waiting time is like, they're late, like next appointment is not till March, and I was like, oh, my appointment's in like January, and like I do not want to suffer from more migraines than I have to, and then if something's wrong with my brain, I don't want to wait another 2 months. Anyway, long story short, I had to pay $320 to get this brain scan. I actually got it for free at Monash last time, so yeah, not all hospitals, public hospital. I mean, in public hospital, normally you don't pay, but for some reason, the Box Hill Hospital, public hospital, makes you pay for your MRIs. So $320. So guys, appreciate your public system when they don't charge you for MRIs, because I paid $320. And just for context, that is how much your home and contents insurance could cost, which I still have procrastinated getting because I'm just like, money. I just feel like I get slapped with like fines. Like I've just paid a freaking going through a red light fine when I was having a migraine. And I paid my rego, which is like $664. I've just been so broke. And then I just got paid $320. Anyway, whinge, whinge, whinge. But yes, a lot of my stress and a lot of my migraines are like precipitated by like stress, and a lot of my stress in my life is from my workplace, you know, from the work that I do in pharmacy, and you know, all the, just found out I'm going to be on call soon, and that's another source of stress, and just everyday like unpredictability of the workload and not having support, and just the early wake times, late finishes, not having enough sleep, and the endless cycle of me just trying to have a life out of work but also being so freaking tired, and yeah, this is not, just being depressed all the time, just not having a steady job, always having to do interviews. I'm going to have my fourth interview next week at this current job, which I started in September. And yeah, being rejected from like, I don't know how many interviews. 2 out of 3 so far. So, and yeah, so catch 22. You got to get a full-time job to pay for your health problems, which are caused by your full-time job. And you need that job to also survive in society and pay off your mortgage. I mean, you could move back home, but you could also be very depressed at home because you will think you have FOMO and you're just thinking everyone else is so happy with their full-time jobs and their lives. And yeah, so MRI, going back to the MRI, when I finally made it there, I told them about how I almost made it last time getting the cannula in. So they sent me a nurse, and the nurse was like, well, look away and like we'll make sure that, you know, you'll be okay this time. And yeah, she looked like a lot more confident and mature than the other nurse that was like, didn't even know to put on gloves and do hand hygiene before putting on. And yeah, just felt like this is going to be a lot better. And yeah, I was right. She was, could even get a cannula in my left arm. I was going to offer up my right arm, and I was, didn't really want to because I was planning to play badminton tonight. But I was like, oh, if you can find a vein in my left arm, yeah. And she found one, and it was really quick. Wasn't painful. Great. I was like, this is going to be a good start. Yeah, the machine looked amazing. It looked a lot more, the MRI machine itself was like a lot more newer than the one at Monash, and they had like all this like fancy background at this back. They even offered me earphones like to play music or radio, but then like it couldn't actually fit in the headrest, so I don't really know how that works. So basically you just, yeah, it's supposed to like gown up, take everything off except for your undies, just in case it interferes in the machine. And basically you have to sit really, really still. It's really hard for me. I'm always like twitching. My muscles really hurt from like the reformer Pilates I did yesterday. And yeah, I was like, I'm a really, really like bad sleeper. Like I'm always like moving around in my sleep. So like I was trying to like nap sleep in the machine, but like, yeah, they can talk to you while you're in the machine. So like, they have a headrest there, they give you a blanket, and they put something on top of you and some foam to, like, not move your head. But, yeah, like, she was like, yeah, don't move, or otherwise, like, I don't know, the images don't come out well. But, yeah, I was like, I don't feel like I'm moving, I'm just breathing. But you are, like, fully aware. You're, like, in this zen zone. I was, like, trying to, like, not focus on my breathing. But, yeah, I could just feel, like, my arms twitching and, yeah. And then at some stage, she was like, I'm putting the contrast in. I could, like, I realized I was actually clutching onto, like, the IV line that was attached to my arm. And I could feel it, like, going in. It was so cold. And I realized how dehydrated it was. So basically, like, all you hear is, like, so they give you earplugs to put in. And, like, But you can, there's all these like random beeping sounds. It's almost like a radio, different pitches. It reminded me of the like audiology kind of tests. I don't know if you ever did a hearing test before. I did it because like I've got a lot of like ear infections and I went to do a hearing test just to make sure my hearing is okay. Yeah, so I got like a slight impairment in my left ear because of all the probably infections and stuff that's stuck in there and the earwax in my right ear to get it removed. So yeah, like it always sounds like songs or like tunes with different pitches, and it's, I guess these sounds must bounce off my brain. I don't know how it works, but somehow it shows you how your brain matter looks, and those radiographers know how to read it. And yeah, for my first one, they said that something had changed in my brain, must have been, and they attributed it to the migraines, but they weren't sure, so they said to do another repeat migraine MRI in 6 months. And my neurologist wasn't happy with what they wrote, so he was like, make sure you go to Eastern Health, Box Hill Hospital to do it. And so I have to pay $320 to do it. So yeah, all in all, it took about 45 minutes to do the scans. but doing the questionnaires, all the like questions about any surgery and health conditions, etc., and like getting a cannula in, like changing in, and like getting, yeah, and then after getting the cannula out, probably takes about an hour to hour and a half, so probably took about 2 hours to do it, start to finish. Where I felt really, really sick was when they took out the cannula. It was not the nurse that took it out, it was just the technician who was running me through the MRI. So she couldn't actually get me on the special seat where they insert the cannula, so I was just on a normal chair. I wasn't looking, but she was like going really slow, and then I was like, oh, I was looking away. But then after, when she had the band-aid on, she was like putting my arm up, and then she was like trying to stop the bleeding. I don't think that's what you're supposed to do, but anyway, she was like, oh, just keep pressing it for a minute to stop the bleeding. And I was like, stop the bleeding. And when she said that, I was like, all the blood just drained from my face. I am not good with the word blood, and like, especially not when it's like my blood. So she left me, and then I went into like a full state of panic, and like, I hate it when this happens. Like, I was just like, and I was like, oh no, not this again. This is when I went going into this phase of anger. But then I was like, no one there this time. And I was like, oh. And I was full on sweating from head to toe. I was like, oh my God. And I was like in the hospital gown. I was like, my face was like pale. I probably went as white as a sheet. My blood pressure probably went to like 60 to 80. Nobody was around me. I was just sitting on a chair. And I was just like, oh, how am I going to drive home? I was panicking. But you know what made me feel better? Which is so bizarre. I asked my GP, like, whenever I go through these panic attacks or whatever they're called, I asked him for some diazepam to like, help me feel better. Like, diazepam basically is a GABA, I can't remember, agonist or whatever. So it just basically, like, just makes you a little bit sedated and, like, relaxed, and a lot of people, and it helps with anxiety, so people use it like before they go to like dentist or doing something very stressful, like planes or whatever, planes. Sometimes you go use it for like a procedure to calm you down. So I have some in my bag for like panic attacks. I carry like wherever I go. So I thought about it, and I was like, okay, this is different than last time when I had the last panic attack, which was back in November, when I had the AWARE training, which is like defense training against like aggressive patients. And they told me that nurse got like assaulted by the patient and was never able to work again. And then when they told me that, I was like, oh, and then I got the same sort of panic. This is how I felt when she was like, just hold your arm up and like I thought to stop the bleeding. I was like, yeah, I'm always in that fight or flight mode. And so I was just thinking, okay, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to take diazepam and I will feel okay. I've got the diazepam in my bag. I just got to sit here for a bit. So I feel like, you know, I don't want to get up because I feel like I'm going to fall over. So I'm just like, just breathe, just breathe. Just like, you know, just calm down. I just got to get to the change room, get that diazepam. And like, yeah. So that's what I did. I calmed myself down enough to make it into the change room, pop down there on the seat for a couple of minutes, just calm down. And I was just breathing in and out. And I was like, okay, do I take the diazepam? But like, there's a risk of me taking diazepam that I'll be too sedated to drive. So I was just like, okay, do I take it? And I was just like, and I was like, I'll see how it goes. Wipe off all the sweat, see how I feel. I hate panic attacks. It just makes me feel so bad. And I never know if I'm going to vomit or not, if it goes into a full like episode of migraine attack. Like all of these like panic attacks and like migraines and like stress, it's all like related. And then like, even talking about it now and thinking about it, I'm like, oh, I feel like the headache's coming on. And like, it's probably also related to how I didn't eat much food like in the morning that day that I went to that training as well. Like, I probably didn't eat much food too. I mean, I'm probably guilty of not eating much food anyway on most days, but I do have a lot of snacks when I get to work. But when I'm on a training day, I obviously can't snack. So it's hard. It's a hard life, you know, when you're working and like you just live a very fast life and you don't have time to look after yourself and you just feel like you're deteriorating and you're deteriorating into nothing and you know like your health just slips away from you and then you feel like you're fading into nothing and you just can't stop and like you just want to like you know like you just want to quit. At the same time, like, you quit, what do you have left? And, like, you just feel like there's nothing left for you and there's no one to support you. And you probably do have the supports. You probably paid for insurance, but, like, you could probably go to the government. But, you know, like, everyone's just going to expect you to get yourself up. And, like, and in the end, like, you wonder, like, what happened last time that you fell down? You had to get yourself up. Like, there were people like, you know, intermittently there to hear you out, but you know, you paid them to for their time and like, and they may have helped a little bit, but in the end it was you who had to pick yourself up and get you to where you were. And in the end it will be you who has to do that again. And it, and yeah, you just need to find the strength and to breathe in and out before you can do that again. And I don't know why I'm talking to myself again. But I think sometimes that's what you do when you have to go through the panic attacks. You just have to do that until you can't and you have to call someone else. But yes, that is basically how panic attack feels like. You feel like the world is ending and like, yeah, your life flashes before your eyes. And it's not very pleasant. Hope there's no more MRIs after this. I think the worst thing about the MRIs is not about sitting still and about being in a tube, about people watching you and like, yeah, it's, and the sounds, it's about the freaking cannula. And if you don't have someone experienced, getting in and out of you. And yeah, and like the, you know, the most uncanny thing out of this whole experience, aside from running through the rain and like, and the most bizarre thing is I was like, I swear I have like a ticket on my car. Like by the time I finished the MRI, it was like freaking 2 o'clock. Like I had parked in a 2 hour zone from like 11:20 and I was like 40 minutes overdue for my car. I was like, I swear I probably have a ticket. I wasn't even running to my car. Went to my car and there was no ticket. I was like, whoa. Fuck me. Thank the holy Buddha, God, whatever. And I went and bought lunch. Yeah, the food didn't really taste good. Maybe I'm just not feeling the best, but Honestly, this morning I woke up and I was like, I need to take a day off work. I feel shit. And then I realized I actually had a day off anyway. But the plumber's coming and to give a quote. Did you know my plumber, the plumber, like I judge a plumber or tradie about like how, like I don't really choose a tradie on, well, it does help, but like on like how much they charge me, it's more like how they act and how comfortable I feel with them. Like, for example, like today's tradie did not take off his shoes even though it was raining outside, and he legit left like marks all over my floor, and I was really pissed. Just kept walking in and out of my house and leaving like dirt marks all over, like water marks all over my kitchen floor, and I had to wipe after him and on my carpet. I can't get the carpet ones out, but yeah, not hiring him. And he also like suggested something dodgy, which was like to get him to install like a secondhand electrical like hot water system thing, so that I could be eligible to upgrade to a better one from the government. And I don't know, I think that sounds pretty dodgy. But I don't know, maybe if that turns out cheaper, maybe. But like, sounds pretty like annoying to have to do that, to get two different people to have to come in instead of just one. Plus, he didn't take his shoes off. He didn't even go and look up the ceiling to look at the existing hot water system. The first plumber that I got, which was from a referral from a friend, was they actually went and had a look at this existing system, and then they gave me the quote, and they actually took the shoes off, which is good. Anyway, that's how I judged on people and like the rapport and like, you know, the response time. Yeah, this guy called me during work hours, and I was just like, ugh. He didn't tell me when he was coming, and like, yeah. Anyway, I am trying to lie in bed, trying to see if I'm gonna be feel like well enough to go to play badminton tonight. I really wanna go, but I also feel like I'm on the verge of like vomiting. This ain't good. I don't think this is normal. I'm gonna try now and see how I feel. So, thank you for listening to my random rambling. See you in the next episode.